Welcome to this edition of the God is Your Life broadcast. This is Reverend Mark Slay inviting you to join me for the next few minutes as we get into the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30:20 tells us to love the Lord your God, obey His voice, and to hold tight to Him, for this is your life. I'll be back in a few minutes, but for now, let's listen as I teach from the Word. You want to know why Jesus died? Because of you. That's why. Because of you. So you could live in sin and not have to go to hell for it. That's why he died. Somebody say, who sent him to the cross? Well, you did. That's who did. Because he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He didn't have any of his own. So the next time you want to get mad at the Jews for crucifying Jesus, forget it. It was you that sent him. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. That's substitution, isn't it? And by his scourging, we are healed. How would Isaiah know 750 years ahead of time the Messiah would be pierced and he would be whipped? All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. So it's you that sent him. And he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Now look, he did not open his mouth and like a lamb that's led to slaughter. Isn't that an interesting thing to say about the Messiah? Like a lamb that's led to slaughter. Why would you say that? And like a sheep that stays silent before his shearers, so he didn't even open his mouth. Remember, he's standing before the Roman governor, Pilate. And Pilate said, don't you know I can determine your fate here? I can crucify you or let you go? Jesus didn't answer him a word. Finally, he just pressed him so much, Jesus did tell him some things. He just kept his mouth shut, let him do it. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away, that is, to a cross. And as for his generation, now think about this, and as for that generation that lived when Jesus was there, and as for his generation, who even considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living? Cut off out of the land of the living. Cut off out of the land of the living. That means died. For the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was really due. In other words, Isaiah says, who will believe this? And of that generation that saw it happen, how many of them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, for whom the stroke really should have been due? You understand why the Bible now says that God is love? Do you understand what it means when it says God is love? That while we were yet his enemies, and we could sit in church and yawn and be bored at the very fact of these facts, makes you just sick and in desperate need of a Savior? To whom the stroke was really... Do you realize the fullness of what he went through will not even be told until we get to heaven? But it was all for us, and that God is love, and that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes it, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, he goes on to say some things there. The next verse, verse 9, his grave, so he had to be buried. His grave was assigned with wicked men. How did Isaiah know all this 750 years ahead of time? Well, now, that was all foundation work. No, don't get scared. Why I'm saying that is I want you to turn to Luke 13, and I'll tell you why I said all that. Because we're watching the last days before he comes. Find Luke 13, Luke 19, and Luke 21 so I can breeze through these quickly. Luke 13, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those that are sent to you. This is Jesus speaking. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just like a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you wouldn't have it. Now notice who wouldn't have it. God? No, them. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. And I say to you that you'll not see me now again until the time comes when you do say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That was prophecy from Psalm 118 about when Jesus comes back. He said, you're not going to see me again. I'm going to go up. I'm going to take my seat at the right hand of the Father. And the next time you see me, it will be on that day. Now go over to the next one, Luke 19. 37, verse 37 through 44. And as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of his disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they'd seen him do. Shouting, look at this messianic prophecy from the Psalms, Psalm 118 again. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in earth and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. In other words, because they were praising him. And Jesus said to them, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones themselves will cry out. And when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. Now notice, he wept over it again. Why? Saying, if you had known, if you had just known this day, even you, Jerusalem, the things which make for peace. But now they've been hidden from your eyes. In other words, because you rejected them. Verse 43, he says, so now the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because, now look, because, why? Because you did not recognize this time of your visitation. Now, we'll get to another one in Luke 21. Let me tell you something. Do you know how many countless people, even Christians, I meet right now that have no idea the time of visitation is upon them and they're just as clueless as they were? We've seen the outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we've never seen before. We're seeing a revival in this nation and people are absolutely clueless about why and what's happening. Wonder why all these people are talking about Jesus. Wonder why these movie stars are making movies about Jesus. Wonder why the president believes in Jesus. It's the greatest revival that's going to happen right before Jesus comes back. It's the last revival that the prophets prophesied. You're right in the middle of it, and most of you are so clueless. It amazes me. So before you want to pick up a rock and blame them, you're just as clueless. Now, Luke 21, just thought I'd clarify that. Luke 21, because the plan of God always goes on with people not knowing it. Jesus is talking in Luke 21. Start with verse 5. And while some of were walking about the temple, that it was adorned with beautiful stones, and see, they're just talking about how beautiful the temple was, and the votive gifts, he said, as for these things which you're looking at, that is the temple, the days will come in which they'll not be left one stone upon another. That'll not be torn down. Now, this is the third time Jesus prophesied this. Not one stone. He said, and they questioned him, saying, Teacher, when therefore will these things be? And what is going to be the sign when these things are about to take place? He said, see to it that you're not misled, for many are going to come in my name, that's Jesus' name, and say, I am he, I'm the Christ. The time is near. Somebody told me recently there was some lunatic claiming he was Jesus. Did you hear about that? It's already starting, but it's going to get worse. Actually, what Jesus is prophesying about is in that time of war and confusion. At that time, he's really specifically talking about, you always have a few fruitcakes along the line that'll just, you know, say they're Jesus and they're not. But he's talking about right in that time of chaos Jesus is talking about. He said, the time is near. And when you hear of, now look, wars and rumors of wars, don't be terrified, for those things got to take place. But the end does not immediately follow. You hearing of wars and rumors of wars? It's not yet the end immediately. It's coming, but it's just a few more years. And then he continues by saying, nation is going to rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. How many think that's happening? And there will be great earthquakes, and in various places, plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they'll lay hands on you and will persecute you and deliver you to the synagogues and imprison you and bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. And it will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. So make up your mind not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves, for I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents are going to be able to refute. or resist. Verse 16, but you will be betrayed, and even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish, that means eternally. By your endurance, you'll gain your lives. But when you see, here's verse 20, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. And he means his return. Verse 21, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city have to leave. Talk about the Jewish people over there. Flee, and those who are in the country must not enter the city. But these are the days of vengeance, so that all the things which are written shall be fulfilled. And woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be a great distress upon that land and wrath to this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, that is war, and be led captive into all the different nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled under the foot by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. We already talked about some of those. And on the earth, look, dismay among nations. Now look, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. In perplexity about the roaring of the sea and the waves. Now how did Jesus know that? I just was somewhere, I don't know where I was. I was visiting somebody in the hospital. And there was a Time magazine laying there. And on the cover it said, are we creating more hurricanes? Now, isn't that interesting? They will flatly mark it is a fact. There are more hurricanes. We don't deny it. But it must be us doing it. Well, if they just opened Luke 21, they'd have known what's causing it. Dummy. Global warming. My God, we've got to stop this global warming. Save the animals. Kill the people. Lunatics. Lunatics. Now, the roaring of the seas and of the waves, the tsunamis and the hurricanes you saw in 2005, which you remember Brother Hagin prophesied would be a year of judgment. How many knows? We saw it. Right before he died, God used that prophet to prophesy, 4 years into the future? We saw it. But let me tell you something, what the Lord said to me. He said, just like you saw, this is what he said to me not too long, I shared it with you. He said, just like you saw 2005 have waves of judgment come in, there'd be a wave of judgment, and then there'd be kind of a quell, and then there was another wave of judgment. He said to me, that's how it's going to be in 2006 for my people with blessing. It will come in waves, and it'll cool out for a second, and then there'll be another wave. How many like that news? I love that news. Just to talk. I hope you enjoyed today's message. The title of the message is God's Plan for the Last Days. If you'd like a copy, you can look us up on the web at mrcstl.org or marksslay.org. That's marksslay.org. Or you can call our office at 314-965-8488. 314-965-8488. Until next time, this is Reverend Mark Slay reminding you that God is your life. All our grace to the church.